antioxidants and 12% zinc oxide to ward off sun damage and pearly pigments for a radiant finish. Number 5, Zit Zapper Bliss Clear Genius Clarifying Toner Plus Serum, $18, Ulta.com. This serum toner hybrid makes use of proven acne fighters like salicylic acid to unclog pores and witch hazel to control oil. Bonus, it also contains skin soothers and hydrators like zinc and hyaluronic acid. Astounding anti-agers. Number 1, Multitasking Cream Tatcha Luminous Dewy Skin Night Concentrate, $110, Sephora.com. This silky smooth ultra hydrating formula is packed with antioxidant rich algae, green tea, and ginseng, says Dr. Chang. Licorice root lightens dark spots while squalane, extracted from olives, delivers deep moisture, making this a do-it-all cream to protect and repair skin. Number 2, Brightening Serum, Olay Regenerist Max Tone Serum, $33, Olay.com. More like a serum lotion hybrid, this fragrance-free pick delivers niacinamide to reduce irritation and vitamin C to boost brightness and even skin tone. This creamy formula glides on sans stickiness, leaving you with a can't-miss-it glow. Number 3, Anti-Aging Eye Cream Skin Better Science Interfuse Treatment Cream Eye, $105, skinbetter.com. Dr. Levin says this eye cream is probably the most popular in her practice, thanks to a special peptide that mimics Botox by relaxing superficial muscles. It also is loaded with hydrators, vitamin C, and caffeine to reduce puffiness. Apply it morning and night after you cleanse and before you slather on other serums. Number 4, All-Star Retinol Rock Retinol Correction Line Smoothing Night Serum Capsules, $25, Walmart.com. Retinol is powerful, so it can spur redness and peeling if you use it in large amounts. These 100% biodegradable capsules offer the perfect dose while maintaining the freshness and potency of the highly concentrated retinol inside, says Dr. Chang. All over body boosters. Number 1. Innovative Razor Gillette Venus Mini. $9, drugstores. This ingenious mini razor comes with its own case for travel convenience. The design shrinks the original full-size handle, but keeps the same effective three-blade head, so no separate purchase is required. Number 2, Smoothing Body Wash, Glytone Exfoliating Body Wash, $33, GlytoneUSA.com. I love this exfoliating body wash, says Dr. Levin, who recommends it for people who struggle with keratosis pilaris, aka chicken skin. It contains gentle surfactants to cleanse and glycolic acid to slough away rough texture. Number 3, Eco-Friendly Deodorant Native Plastic-Free Deodorant, $16, Target.com. Tapioca starch and baking soda keep you dry, coconut oil ensures smooth application, and a unique sugar-based ingredient derived from starch slowly releases a pleasant scent for odor-free wear. Yes, even for those who sweat heavily. Best of all, it's packaged in paperboard instead of plastic, and 1% of the sales goes toward fighting plastic pollution. Number 4, Hand Healer. Aveeno Repairing Cica Hand Mask, $3, drugstores. Treat dry, cracked hands with their own mask, suggests Dr. Chang. Infused with soothing colloidal oat and shea butter, these slip-on gloves repair and relieve damaged skin in just 10 minutes. Number 5, Rich Body Butter. Kyle's Cream Decor Soy Milk and Honey Whip Body Butter. $40, Kyle's.com. This souffle-like body butter is rich, but it soaks onto skin thanks to its whipped texture, says Franzino. The jojoba and shea butter really nourish dehydrated skin, yet feel like a pampering treat. Healthy hair essentials. Number 1. Moisturizing hair mask, Verb. Hydrating mask, $18, Sephora.com. A mask that fights dryness, tames frizz, and repairs damage all at once. Believe it. Work it through damp hair, let it sit and rinse away for shinier, softer strands that are much easier to style. Number 2. Frizz-fighting serum. Kerastase Paris. Nutritive 8H Magic Night Serum, $56. Kerastaseusa.com. This dry hair savior is the perfect way to condition while you sleep, says Garcia Planck. So you wake up with smoother strands instead of tangles and frizz. Just comb a pump through dry or damp hair before bed, then wash and condition the next day for best results. Number 3. Volumizing Shampoo, L'Oreal Paris. Ever Pure Volume Shampoo, $8. Drugstores. If you want an affordable shampoo with salon quality results, this is the one to try. It brings a nice softness to hair without making it flat, says Garcia Planck. Plus, it's free of sulfates, cleansers that can sometimes strip strands, so it's gentle even on color-treated hair. Number 4. Hydrating Conditioner. Pantene Sulfate-Free Hydrating Glow Conditioner, $7, drugstores. This sulfate-free conditioner gives hair a silky look, says Franzino. All-star hydrators like baobab essence from cold-pressed seeds of the Tanzanian tree and vitamin B5 give strands a surge of moisture without weighing them down. Number 5. Revitalizing Scalp Scrub. Nexus Clean and Pure Invigorating Detox Scalp Scrub, $16, Target.com. A healthy scalp scrub grows healthy hair, so work this exfoliating scrub right into your roots to burst through oil and product buildup for the ultimate refresh. The sugar base dissolves easily, meaning it won't leave specks in your strands, which should feel full and bouncy after you use it. Number 6. Lightweight Curl Booster, Virtue Curl Defining Whip, $36, virtuelabs.com. To give curls and waves extra oomph, reach for this light but deeply hydrating mousse, which helps define your natural texture without that sticky, crunchy feeling. The result, soft, effortless curls that feel as great as they look. Simple, stunning makeup. Number 1. Best Brow Product, Maybelline Brow Ultra Slim Defining Eyebrow Pencil, $8, drugstores. This pencil has a micro-precision tip that's easy to control and a formula that stays in place, says Fennell. It doesn't leave that notorious waxy film behind, so it mimics real hair, making a brow look extra full naturally. Number 2. Skin Tint Ilia Super Serum Skin Tint SPF 40, $48, Sephora.com. Dino says this multitasking serum protects skin, gives enough coverage for sunspots and blemish scars, and quickly melts in and disappears once you find your match among the 30 diverse shades. It's on my face most days and gives a great glow. Number 3. Everyday Eyeshadow Aether Beauty Summer Solace Palette, $58, Sephora.com. The silky, easy-to-blend texture of these powders make this a must-have, Deno says. We love this palette for its mix of wearable mattes and something special shimmers. Number 4. Brightening Balm. Tower 28 Beach Please Luminous Tinted Balm, $20, Tower28Beauty.com. I love the texture of these juicy bombs so much, says Denno. They are not sticky and feel more hydrating and bouncy than you'd ever expect. Gently massage into cheeks as your skin but better blush, or use as a fun lipstick topper. Number 5. Wearable lip color. Minted Lip Gloss, $15. MintedCosmetics.com. Fennell says the shade range of these smooth, luscious glosses complements a variety of skin tones, and that they're thick enough to have good staying power and while giving your pout a fuller, plumper look. Number 6. Dramatic Mascara, Lancome. Lash Idol Mascara, $26. Ulta.com. This mascara's novel curved wand and lightweight gel formula help reach every lash, making them look full, not clumped or deflated, says Frozino, who tests dozens of new mascaras each year. Pretty Nail Necessities. Number 1. Non-Toxic Lacquer Nails Ink Plant Power Polish, $10, Sephora.com. This vegan polish is free of almost every potentially questionable nail polish ingredient, says Frozino. 21 of them to be exact, but it still manages to come in a range of gorgeous and vibrant colors that look glossy and won't chip in a day. Number 2. Mess-Free Cuticle Oil, Sally Hansen. Cuticle Rehab Oil Bomb, $9, drugstores. A cuticle treatment that doesn't leave you with an oily mess, it's possible, thanks to this solid balm enriched with nourishing vitamin E and safflower oil that you can easily glide on with no drip or spill risk. Number 3. Shiny Topper, Olive and June, Super Glossy Top Coat, $8, Target.com. Reach for this polish perfecting top coat to give your at-home mani a salon-quality look and a much longer life. The smooth application makes finishing the job a total breeze. Number 4. Gentle Polish Remover, Ella Plus Mila Soy Nail Polish Remover, $11.50, Target.com. Most polish removers contain acetone, an effective but harsh solvent that can leave nails brittle, but not this one. It is soy-based and has various vitamins and lavender essential oil to moisturize nails and cuticles while gently swiping away at-home paint jobs. More winners? Discover extra expert picks for every category in our expanded beauty awards at prevention.com Beauty Awards 2021. I'll now be reading an article in Prevention's wellness section entitled Natural Benefits of Salt by Arika Ellen Sanson. We rarely give thought to salt outside of the kitchen, but actually it's been used therapeutically for thousands of years. With its anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial properties, it may ease nasal congestion, relieve sore throats, and smooth rough skin. Gaia Mather, ND, an assistant professor at National University of Natural Medicine in Portland, Oregon, shares her favorite at-home uses. Calming salt scrub. Stimulate circulation with this exfoliating treatment. In a blender or a clean coffee grinder, grind 1 cup dried lavender buds to a texture resembling coarse cornmeal. Stir in 3 cups Epsom salt, 1/4 cup unscented oil, such as sunflower or jojoba oil. In the shower, wet your skin, take a handful of scrub, and massage it gently in a circular motion all over your body. Avoid your face and areas where skin is fragile or freshly shaved, as well as anywhere you have a wound or a rash. Rinse and towel dry. Store in a lidded glass jar. Nose clearing rinse. Use this wash to thin out mucus and relieve congestion from a cold or allergies. Heat 8 ounces of distilled water on stovetop, or boil tap water for 3 to 5 minutes and cool to lukewarm. add 1/4 teaspoon each sea salt and baking soda, stirring until dissolved. Pour into neti pot and let solution run through one nostril and out the other, using half per side. Repeat daily while symptomatic. Clean and dry neti pot between uses. Sore throat soother. This rinse should help alleviate the inflammation and discomfort of a mild sore throat. Combine 1 cup filtered water warmed on the stovetop or warm tap water, 1/2 teaspoon table salt, and 1/4 teaspoon turmeric, which has anti-inflammatory properties too. Mix until dissolved. Gargle for 10 seconds per mouthful, then spit out until solution is gone. Use 3 times per day while symptomatic. I'll now be reading an article from Prevention's Pulse section. Get up and stretch it out. We've all been spending a bit more time than before on our bums, but sitting for long periods can lead to stiff muscles, back pain, and poor posture when you do stand up. Loosen up these feel-better moves with Chad Walding, DPT, a physical therapist and co-founder of Native Path. Slouch overcorrect. It sounds counterintuitive, but hear us out. Sit upright and imagine that a string is pulling your head and chest up, up, up. Then slouch your body all the way forward before sitting back as tall as you can, flexing your back and looking toward the ceiling. This exaggerated overcorrection helps you stretch out back muscles along the spine to improve posture, says Walding. Standing side stretch. This will elongate you from head to toe, promoting flexibility and good posture. Stand up straight and clasp your hands above your head. In one movement, stretch your body so you're leaning over to one side. Pump your arms. Trace the ceiling as you straighten and bend toward the other side of your body, pumping your arms again. All over contractions. Consciously contracting and releasing muscles can help you stand straighter and work out muscles that stabilize you when sitting and standing, such as the glutes and the core. Firmly stand with your feet hip width apart. Squeeze your glutes and brace your core. Then clasp your hands in front of your chest, elbows back. Squeeze everything as hard as you can, then slowly relax until you're contracting only a bit. This slight contraction helps you feel better and aligns your body, says Walding. I'll now read an article in Prevention's Pulse section entitled, Sip on This. Good news, coffee lovers. Your morning cup of joe may perk up your heart health, according to a recent review of 3 large heart disease studies. Drinking at least 1 cup of coffee a day was associated with a lower risk of heart failure, researchers found after analyzing health data for more than 21,000 people. Additional studies are needed to determine which coffee components may provide protective effect. But for now, enjoying a daily brew might give your brain and your heart a boost. Here's another article in Prevention's Pulse section. Bleeding gums? You might need a vitamin boost. We've always been told that bleeding gums are a sign of gum disease, and they are. But they're also associated with low vitamin C levels, according to a new analysis of 15 studies. Remember, vitamin C supports a strong immune system and helps protect cells from the effects of free radicals that can play a role in your risk of chronic diseases like cancer and heart disease. Make it a priority to fill up on C-rich picks like red bell peppers, citrus, strawberries, spinach, and broccoli. Prevention Brain Health. B is for the brain. Worried about your memory? Vitamin B could halt age-related cognitive decline, according to a University of Oxford study. Over 2 years, people over 70 with mild memory issues who took high doses of 3 B vitamins, folate, B12, and B6, as well as omega-3 fatty acids, showed an 86% slowdown in regional brain atrophy in areas responsible for learning and memory. A. David Smith, The study's lead scientist, who also works with Elysium Health, maker of Matter, a supplement based on his work, explains that the vitamins essentially remove an amino acid that harms gray matter. Ask your doctor about your vitamin B levels. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Adrian Booker with Prevention. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Legal Aid of Northwest Texas has scheduled virtual clinics from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the first Tuesday of each month through October 5th. Clinics will include topics in bankruptcy, name change, child support, custody, divorce, employment issues, foreclosure, probate, landlord-tenant, wills, estate planning, occupational essential needs license, and expunction. Legal Aid of Northwest Texas is a nonprofit organization that provides free civil legal help to low-income residents in 114 Texas counties throughout North and West Texas. With offices in Abilene, Lubbock, Midland, Odessa, San Angelo. To apply or for more information, call Jeannie Sith at 432-686-0647, extension 5503.
Saturday and Sunday mornings, enjoy a variety of religious publications and features. Saturdays at 7 a.m., it's Guidepost Magazine, followed at 8 a.m. with the week's Sunday school lessons. Those are repeated Sundays beginning at 4 a.m. Then Sunday mornings at 6, it's Catholic Today, and at 7, Christianity Today. On Recording Library of West Texas Radio, read by listening.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Identifying triggers for migraine. Dear Dr. Roach, is it true that fructose is a trigger for migraines? LJS. Answer. Migraine headaches are a form of episodic headache, often associated with nausea, as well as sensitivity to light and sound. There are many subtypes of migraine, including migraine without headache, and any given person may identify his or her own trigger for migraine. It's possible fructose is a trigger for some people. Stress and sleep changes are among the most common. Women sometimes get migraines around the time of menstruation. These are called catamenial migraines. Thank you, Dr. Abby Spencer, who taught me that word years ago. Among foods, caffeine and wine are very commonly identified as triggers for migraine. Some people identify chocolate as a trigger, but it may not be. It's possible to get food cravings, such as for chocolate, at the beginning of the migraine syndrome. So although it seems as though chocolate is the trigger, in fact, the migraine caused the chocolate craving. Fructose, a sugar found in honey and fruit, is not a commonly identified trigger. It may be that, similar to chocolate, some people have a craving for fruit even before an aura or the headache begins.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 82 and cloudy. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the upper 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This is Jerry, reading Medical. An uncertain public, encouraging acceptance of COVID-19 vaccines, by Jillian K. Steele Fisher, PhD, Robert J. Blendon, Doctor of Sociology, and Hannah Caparello, BA. This is from the New England Journal of Medicine. The potential for vaccines to interrupt United States transmission of COVID-19 depends not only on technical efficiency in vaccine distribution, but also on the willingness of a large proportion of the public to be vaccinated. Though there has been strong demand for the relatively small amount of vaccine available initially, maintaining interest in vaccination is a longer-term challenge. To understand public attitudes toward taking a COVID-19 vaccine and the factors likely to affect willingness to do so going forward, we examined 39 nationally representative randomized polls with publicly available tabulations that were conducted between August 2020 and February 2021. Our framework provides a perspective different from that of much of the media reporting on individual polls and informs our recommendations for outreach efforts to encourage vaccine uptake, efforts in which we believe physicians can play an important role. Polls suggest that much of the United States public is currently undecided about whether to take a COVID-19 vaccine. This point is often overlooked, since interpreters of several recent polls have predicted that a majority will get vaccinated. But these interpretations are missing an important detail. Reporting of poll results often involves collapsing various categories of responses. For example, reporting combines people who say they will definitely get vaccinated, 40%, with those who say they probably will, 23%. Polls using other wording reveal similar patterns, with substantial proportions of respondents indicating that they are somewhat likely to take a vaccine, for example. But evidence from political polling suggests that people who say they will probably or are somewhat likely to take an action do not always do so. Moreover, many people, when offered the choice, say they are not sure, or that they will wait until it has been available for a while to see how it is working for other people. Thus, though there is a potential for a majority of Americans to take COVID-19 vaccines, many people are apparently still making up their minds. Information they receive in the next few months could determine their decisions. To help motivate the public, we believe information should account for three central features of public opinion evident in these polls. First, although the broader literature on COVID-19 vaccine adoption in the United States indicates that perceived effectiveness is an important motivator, poll findings warn that public perceptions of effectiveness may not align with expert views. In particular, the public may expect that an effective COVID-19 vaccine means not only strong protection against the virus, but also immediate changes in their daily experience. Indeed, when asked about reasons why they would take the vaccine, many people said it would allow them to go back to normal activities like work or school, 52%, or feel safe around other people, 75%. Such perceptions may conflict with expert warnings that getting a vaccine, however effective it may be in preventing infection, does not warrant a return to normal. Second, also in keeping with other research on COVID vaccine uptake in the United States, polling shows that safety is a key consideration in individual decision-making. Safety-related issues are consistently the top reasons for hesitancy regarding COVID-19 vaccination that is cited in the polls, with 71% of respondents in one recent poll, for example, citing concerns about side effects. However, despite scholarship emphasizing the role of trust in institutions to provide relevant information, polls suggest that sources of technical information about safety are not greatly trusted. Specifically, there is limited trust in the media or pharmaceutical companies to provide COVID-19 vaccine information. As few as 16 and 20% of respondents, respectively, say they have a great deal or quite a bit of trust in these organizations to provide such information. The public also has only moderate trust in information provided by the Food and Drug Administration. More people, however, trust their own doctor or even health professionals as a group. This finding is consistent with polling about other health information, which reveals that doctors are frequently more trusted or viewed more positively than other sources, including elected officials, government agencies, and medical scientists. Third, willingness to be vaccinated varies among United States communities. Black adults are less likely than white adults to say they will take a COVID-19 vaccine. In a recent poll, 31% of black adults, as compared with 46% of white adults, said they would definitely get vaccinated. In the context of what is known about well-justified distrust among black adults, owing to historical and current racism in the United States biomedical enterprise, polling provides insights about how this distrust plays out in relation to COVID-19. For example, black adults are less confident than white adults that vaccines have been properly tested for safety, and less confident that medical scientists act in the public's best interest. For different reasons, though also related to distrust, Americans who identify as Republicans are less likely than Democrats to say they will get vaccinated. A quarter of Republicans, as compared with half of Democrats, say they definitely will. This finding reflects a more recent polarization in the United States that affects responses to nearly every facet of contemporary policy. Regarding COVID-19, polls show that Republicans have less confidence than Democrats do that medical scientists will act in the public's best interest, and less trust in every source of vaccine information polls have asked about, with the exception of former President Donald Trump. Republicans thus have had little trust in President Joe Biden regarding such information. Having explored multiple polls, we believe that there is great potential for public willingness to receive COVID-19 vaccines, but that effective public education and outreach are needed to maximize the proportion of the population that will do so quickly. We also believe that clinical physicians, rather than pharmaceutical companies, political leaders, or even medical scientists, should be at the fore of education and outreach strategies. Featuring clinicians in messaging is particularly important given that many people will not see their own physician when making vaccination decisions. Current vaccine policy and cold chain logistics mean that people will largely be attending mass vaccination clinics. To reach communities that are less trusting of vaccine efforts, outreach should be led by, or should meaningfully incorporate, physicians reflecting the diversity of the relevant communities. Practically, this recommendation means that black physicians, including those affiliated with historically black medical institutions, should have a key voice. Similarly, physicians from well-respected medical institutions in Republican-leaning states should be incorporated into efforts in those states. Assuming that the vaccines continue to have strong safety and efficacy profiles, vaccination programs can emphasize that message. Clinicians can also provide information about mitigating risks for patients with allergies or chronic conditions, which may affect people's concerns about safety. At the same time, the media, including social media, may damage perceptions of vaccine safety by reporting frequently on the small number of people who experience serious side effects. It is therefore important to highlight for reporters, as well as the public, the relative rarity of these side effects. Finally, for many people who want a vaccine, the motivation to return to normal is paramount. Although we must explain that precautions such as mask wearing will still be needed in many circumstances until vaccine adoption is widespread, leaders who wish to motivate vaccine adoption can balance such warnings with positive messages about how vaccination can facilitate a return to activities such as seeing friends and families or working in an office. These messages are especially important in relation to vaccines that require two doses to avert drop-off before the second dose. Such broad strokes guidance will need to be adapted to state and local contexts, given variation in cultural contours, even within particular demographic groups. Where possible, approaches should lever additional polling and qualitative data comparing subgroups such as younger and older Black adults. Moreover, whenever possible, approaches should be customized to the group that is undecided within a particular population. Nonetheless, we believe that these broad lessons from polling can guide the large-scale messaging efforts needed at the national level to help motivate a large fraction of the public to receive COVID-19 vaccines. How COVID-19 has changed the face of the natural world, by Jennifer Huizen from Medical News Today. How has the COVID-19 pandemic influenced the natural environment? Have the numerous national lockdowns had a positive or negative effect on wildlife? In this special feature, we answer these and other related questions. On the human front, most pandemic-related news has been negative. So far, COVID-19 has caused the deaths of more than 3 million people worldwide, and that number could be significantly higher, given how challenging it is to track every COVID-19 death. A Viewpoint article in JAMA estimates that COVID-19 pandemic may cost the United States at least $16 trillion, roughly 90% of the total annual United States gross domestic product, the GDP. Despite this, on paper, it would make sense to assume that the natural world, at least, is getting a bit of a break. A world in which humans are traveling far less should offer major environmental benefits. But are wildlife and the climate really benefiting from the pandemic? In this special feature of Medical News Today, we explore what is currently known about the potential impact of COVID-19 pandemic on wildlife and the climate. One major and predominantly positive benefit of the pandemic for wildlife is less human travel. Due to the significant reduction in journeys, fewer people are hitting and injuring or killing wildlife on the roadways. A study from March 2021 found that hedgehog roadkill rates in Poland were more than 50% lower compared with pre-pandemic years, saving tens of thousands of hedgehogs in Poland alone. This may help reverse the long-term decline of the European hedgehog populations. Another study, analyzing roadkill data from 11 countries, found that roadkill rates fell by more than 40% during the first few weeks of the pandemic restrictions in Spain, Israel, Estonia, and the Czech Republic. In addition, fewer ships are traveling through the world's waterways and oceans for shipping, for fishing, aquaculture, and tourism purposes. On November 2020, experts predicted that global maritime trade would have plunged by 4.1% by the end of the year. Other reports estimated a 10% decline in container trade for 2020. A reduction in water travel and activity could reduce the risk of ships striking and injuring or killing marine animals. It may also reduce the marine disruption that occurs due to noise pollution from ships, fishing sonar, and recreational boats. Birds might also be benefiting from the sharp decline in air travel, which may have vastly reduced the risk of bird strikes. According to the Federal Aviation Administration, between 1990 and 2019, there were about 227,005 wildlife strikes with civil aircraft in the United States. In addition, United States airplanes reported that some more 4,275 more wildlife strikes at foreign airports. These strikes resulted in injury to 327 people. The pandemic has also led to a decline in industry supply chains, reducing demand for commercial activities that exploit natural resources in many parts of the world. For example, lower fishing demand and activity may reduce the removal of animals from the wild. And in India, anecdotal reports suggest that reduced fishing and vehicle traffic at nesting beaches may be boosting populations of the critically endangered Olive Ridley sea turtle. The pandemic may even benefit wildlife by disrupting the hidden, generally illegal supply chains that destroy wild populations, including those that fuel the wildlife trade. Going forward, authorities may start to take more immediate, forceful action against the illegal exploitation and transportation of wild animals globally. The World Health Organization, that is WHO or WHO, released a report at the end of March suggesting that although the precise origin of the pandemic remains elusive, the global wildlife trade could have allowed the virus to enter China. This report highlights the urgent need to curb wildlife exploitation and signals that wildlife trade could have led to the pandemic, says Tanya Sanarib, the International Legal Director at the Center for Biological Diversity. Disease risk is a global threat. Whether a bat is captured for food in Southeast Asia or to make a paperweight for a desk in the United States, people's demand for wildlife anywhere in the world creates a risk of new diseases emerging. People are also reporting seeing wildlife in unexpected places, such as in large cities and commercial harbors. The increased number of animals in urban environments is likely due to reductions in human presence, air and water pollution levels, and noise pollution. For example, people have spotted pumas wandering in downtown Santiago, Chile, and dolphins swimming in the usually choppy waters of the port of Trieste in Italy. However, many of the immediate positive effects of the pandemic on wildlife, such as reduced road, air and ship deaths or disruption, will likely reverse if the world goes back to business as usual. And in many cases, it will take generations of change to help thousands of species around the world recover from the impact of humankind. For example, it may take 10 to 15 years of sustained reduced fishing to allow the world's depleted fish populations to recover. Some studies have also found that the pandemic may actually be causing harm to wildlife. In one study, Researchers found that reduced human disturbances relating to lockdown has benefited invasive alien species by interrupting the actions that people were taking to control them. The authors also claim that pandemic restrictions have reduced the work of conservation and law enforcement organizations that care for wildlife and protected areas. And this is a global trend. As the staff of preserves, game parks, sanctuaries, and other wildlife facilities are unable to perform their normal activities. Also, the reduction in law enforcement may cause a sudden increase in illegal wildlife killing, in particular, that of endangered animals liable to persecution or poaching. Some experts also worry that economic hardship in low-income countries may lead to an increase in natural resource exploitation, such as unlicensed logging and the illegal wildlife market, as people run out of ways to earn a living. According to satellite images, a surge in deforestation is taking place in several hotspots. Also, illegal fishing rates are on the rise in Brazil and in the Philippines. The changes in human activity that the pandemic has necessitated may also be having some negative effects. For instance, some species that rely heavily on humans for feeding or scavenging, such as monkeys, gulls, and rats, may be struggling during the pandemic. People may also be using outdoor spaces such as parks and nature reserves more during lockdown, which could disturb resident wildlife accustomed to human interactions. On the flip side, reduced ecotourism rates are crippling many organizations worldwide that rely on human visitors to feed and care for their animals. Meanwhile, plastic pollution from improperly disposed of single-use COVID-19 protective gear also seems to be increasing the global plastic pollution problem and causing wildlife deaths, as animals can ingest plastic items or become entangled or trapped in them. According to one estimate, people are throwing away as many as 3.4 single-use face masks and face shields daily worldwide. That's 3.4 billion single-use face masks and face shields that are being thrown away. Many studies from all over the world have reported that the pandemic has brought out significant reductions in climate and water pollution. One study found that daily global CO2 levels dropped by 17% during the early months of the pandemic. Similarly, other research showed that levels of the pollutant nitric dioxide lowered drastically by 20 to 40% across the United States, Western Europe, and China. An analysis of data from 44 Chinese cities also found that pandemic travel restrictions resulted in reductions of between 4.58% and 24.6% in five major air pollutants. An American study suggests the reason for this, finding that between March 27th and May 14th, 2020, in one Massachusetts neighborhood, car travel reduced by 71% and truck traffic fell by 46%. These reductions reduced levels of harmful particles present in vehicular emission, decreasing black carbon by 22 to 46% and ultrafine particle number concentration by 60 to 68%. A study from Brazil also found that during the partial lockdown in São Paulo, levels of nitric oxide decreased by up to 77.3%, while carbon monoxide dropped by up to 64.8% compared with five-year monthly averages. In another study from September 2020, researchers claim that the pandemic situation has been improving air quality, reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It also seems to have reduced the pressure on sensitive tourist destinations, such as heavily visited beaches. Experts suggest that the unprecedented decrease in air pollutant emissions during a pandemic could reduce seasonal ozone concentrations. They estimate that global and European emissions may fall by 30-50% for the industry, energy, international shipping, and road transport sectors, and by 80% for the aviation sector. Travel restrictions and reduced commercial activity may also be improving the health of the world's bodies of water. One study found that pollution levels dropped by nearly 16% in India's longest freshwater lake during a lockdown period. Another study found that COVID-19-related beach closures and travel restrictions reduced the amount of trash leaking into the marine environment off the coast of Kenya. Improvements in air quality often translate into water quality improvements, given how closely the ocean and the atmosphere are related. Many researchers and wildlife organizations are urging scientists and other stakeholders globally to use this unprecedented time for a close examination of the impact of human activity on the natural world. They argue that the information that researchers gather during this time could help improve conservation and biodiversity efforts. It may also improve their ability to predict global environmental changes and potential cause of zoonosis, the transmission of disease from animals to humans. This could save millions of human lives and economic losses going forward. Realistically, it will take years to assess exactly how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected wildlife, the environment, and the climate. Moreover, the impact of the pandemic on the natural world is unlikely to be linear. Research suggests that a reduction in some pollutants, including nitrogen oxides, may result in the rise of others, such as ozone. Understanding how this pandemic has changed humans' relationship with nature may be just as complex. But for now, these positive changes may be enough to give some people and Mother Nature the hope of a better future. It may also help illuminate flaws in how humans interact with and value nature, which could have long-lasting, permanent repercussions for humans and the environment alike.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
To bring us up to time for our next regularly scheduled program, we now bring you the following informative feature.
Mail Hot Flashes Suggestion. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband successfully completed 45 days of radiation for prostate cancer. His last PSA was non-detectable. He has to take medication for 2 years as part of the cure. However, it is causing him to have horrible hot flashes and night sweats. The usual over-the-counter solutions for women do not seem to be helping at all. Would you suggest something designed for a male? PB. Answer. The first effective treatment for prostate cancer was depriving the cancer cells of androgens, which was initially done surgically by removing the testes. It is done now with medications that act like gonadotropin-releasing hormone. Although these initially stimulate testosterone production, their continued use causes lower levels of testosterone, and within a month, testosterone levels drop to the same levels as in men who have had surgery to remove their testes. Hot flashes occur in 80% of men and can be very disruptive. Treatments that are effective for women are often not effective in men as you observed. The best studied and most effective treatments in men were medroxyprogesterone, a hormone that opposes some actions of estrogen, and ciproterone, an anti-androgen available in Canada but not the U.S. It reduced hot flashes by 84% to 95% in men. Venlafaxine, normally used as an antidepressant, reduced symptoms by 50%, and gabapentin, used for epilepsy or for nerve pain, reduced symptoms by about 45%. It is very important to treat the symptoms so he can continue this treatment, which is part of his best chance for long-term remission from prostate cancer. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. Girls as sharp as her are something rare. But it's sad, she doesn't love me now. She's made it clear enough, it ain't no good to pine. She wants to return those things I bought her. Tell her she can keep them just the same. Things have changed, she doesn't love me now. She's made it clear enough, it ain't no good to pine. Walking about, even in a crowd, well, you'll pick her I've been round to see you.